Hey, everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of VSpeaks Conversations with Heart and Soul. We are finishing season three right now with our last guest. We saved the best for last. We have Kurt Tobias here in the house that pulled up in the coolest vehicle wrapped with his company logo and his whole brand, Chuna. Choose Your Nature. He is the founder and the creator, and he's got his hands in a lot of different things, and he's living life his way. Kurt, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. Yeah. So I know your lovely wife, as you know, we know she's been on the cover of the magazine, as have you, and you're a power couple here in town, just doing it up and being like amazing creative people, like with so much talent and just, yeah, really doing it your way. I mean, I'm not just saying that as a line, but I love fashion. I love clothes. I have an eye for things, you know, just intuitively, but also being in the magazine for a long time. So when I was getting ready for this podcast and I'm looking at your website and I'm looking at your clothes and made in the USA and, you know, sourced, and everything that you stand for, you know, all American made, clothing and services and sustainability and the styles. And this is my takeaway. You did something new. Do you know how hard it is to do something new in our world, especially in fashion, and be original and have an original point of view and a voice? You did that. And that's a really big deal. And I can attest to it, the quality of the fabrics and the garments and how they're made, because I just thought it was so cool. And so my husband's probably not your age demographic that you're going for, but I'm like, these are really cool. These shorts are cool. I'm going to get him a shirt. So I ordered it and he put it on, and I'm going to tell you, I hipped him up. He looks really good and he likes them. But it's hard to produce quality of anything and bring it to market, because quality takes time and money and effort and energy. And it's a commitment, you know, to not get something like made in China. There's so many commitments to doing things with excellence. I know that because that's what I try to do with my own business too. And I know how much more money that costs to do. How are you entering this new business and doing it that way, knowing that we both know that you're spending more money than someone else that's hitting the market?
That's a good question. Very loaded question too. Well, first off, I would just like to say, I think I'm going to listen to the first part of this podcast every day. Just pump me up, because I feel the sales are full right now. So, you know, it's a really tough thing. I feel like on a daily basis, I go back and forth, like, are we doing the right thing? Again, my background as a manufacturing engineer, I had no idea about clothes. And I immediately became just super fascinated, knowing that every seam on every piece of clothing that we wear, someone sat there and sewed it. And globally, it's mostly women. And a lot of it is very unethical how it's done. And so I was immediately just like, whoa, man, like, we look at, I think it's less than 5% of the clothes that we wear in the U.S. are made here now.
So
and,
sad.
And that's happened over the last 30 years or something. It's not that long. And so you said doing something new, it's almost just like reviving something that was a past craftsmanship. That's really our story. It's not boom, here's Made in USA. It's, hey, we're reminding people that the craftsmanship still resides here in the States. So it's kind of a holistic view there, because it is telling the ethical story, the sustainable story. You know, true sustainability means that you keep a garment in your closet longer than it stays, than it goes out to a landfill. So that's the common thought process. People, they go buy a $5 shirt. Well, who cares if you throw it away? Well, people don't think about where that's going to go after that. So it's just kind of this holistic approach towards all of it, where yes, it costs more. Yes, to make. Yes, it costs more to buy. And people are going to value that more. And the quality of that, if that all aligns, you end up having very happy customers for a long time.
But even the design of it too, everything that you're saying, I hear you, and I'm supporting everything that you say wholeheartedly, because, you know, we have to get back to not having a throwaway society and not opening a business for the sake of just making money and making more money than we ever could hope to. And then everything else around us that we're doing is cheap.
Yeah.
Because that's how you would make a lot of money, right? So you want the money, like when a lot of people open a business, but for you to have the money, it means your product suffers, the people that work for you don't have very much money, and it's like a completely greed-based model.
Right? Sure.
But even the designs, even what I'm looking at right now, that shirt's like amazing. And, you know, just everything, like the patterns and everything. So who's bringing that? Is that you that are like sketching those out?
Yeah. So, every piece that we come out with is inspired by market research that I do. I have an awesome team. One particular gal, she's our design and developer. She's phenomenal. We would not be where we're at today without her. So shout out to Courtney. No, she's not. Her husband's in the military and they travel around. She's actually currently in Virginia. And then our graphics guy who does all of like the fun graphical side. So the kind of artisanal side of the brand and the prints. So if you go look at the company vehicle, that's one of our prints that we did. He does all that, but it's typically kind of like a spark from me and he turns it into the bonfire. Like that print out on our vehicle is kind of like our staple print. We call it the cheeky print. And the reason of that is because it was off the design of a cheek on a fish. So there's three fish that have that pattern on their cheek and they have it because they camouflage into coral reefs. So like we just take things from nature and put a little spin on it and make it cool. So yeah, we're not really like, we're just kind of reinventing things as we go along.
Sometimes when you think of, when you do look at nature for like something that's beautiful or a pattern, right? It's hard to, or near impossible to outdo what nature already did. And so if you take your inspiration from that, like you're usually going to be okay.
For sure.
And your Instagram feed looks like you're having like the absolute time of your life. And so you've built like this whole lifestyle, like your seemingly your own lifestyle, what you like and fishing and boating and sailing and like kayaking, anything that can be done. And you're partaking of all of that, right? That is really living your way and like the all-American dream. It's amazing. I want to just, while I think about it, this was a cover that we had in June, and here is Kurt rocking his clothing line, Tuna, and this is not Photoshopped. It's a real photo, and he caught the fish, and one of a head turner. It was definitely a head turner for a cover, and a lot of people commented on it and could appreciate it. It was one of our first men's issues that we had in a long time. And we just really felt led, even before we knew that we were going to have you on the cover, that we really need to do that because like how long are we going to like exclude like, you know, catering to men? And so we had a lot of fun with it. We had a lot of fun curating it and, you know, just kind of got like a new perspective. But a lot of people commented on that and it's a really cool cover. And Noah Custer took that photo. Yeah.
He did.
And he did a good job. He's a good photographer.
He's very good.
Yeah, he's very good. We met him recently in the last couple months and I thanked him for that. We gave him a shout out because it's really good. But anyway, I'm always curious to know when someone's on the cover of our magazine, what do you think? And then what kind of feedback are you getting? You know, because no matter what's going on in social marketing, which is like the digital platforms are ruling the world. And no matter what's happening, you know, anywhere, there's something still, I don't know if it's nostalgic or just something that's still considered that it's a cool thing to be a cover guy or a cover girl on a magazine.
Yeah.
That hasn't gone out of style. So what did it do for you?
Well, probably the first thing is a lot of people, a lot of family and friends that are, you know, somewhat connected, they hear it through the grapevines and they're like losing their mind. Like, boy, what is this? And so there's a really cool part of that. And it's just like reconnecting with people that somehow come across it.
Yeah.
And then it's the side of things where we were at a few events and, you know, I'm wearing a bucket hat and glasses and that, and like, you probably can't really tell it's me unless you knew it was me. Yeah. Quite a few people came up and then they said, hey, we actually either saw your name or we recognize you from the cover of V. So, Yeah, I think anything to connect with people is super special. Mm-hmm. Something like that is always really cool. Like, I'm very connected with most of the businesses in the area, and mm-hmm. every coffee shop and every place we stopped, we were seeing that. And it was a cool little conversation starter as well. So that was really special for me. And selfishly, I remember when Lindsay was on this, I was like, man, I would really like to be in something with V one day, because it's always been a goal for me with Chuna. Is like, I see such a big gap, or I would say an opportunity in the men's apparel market. That's where we've kind of coined the term outleisure, which is outdoor athleisure, is to bridge the gap of like that there is this kind of cool style towards like this outdoor lifestyle. And it's not just like this real tree camo or like real, like, I don't know, like hunter's look. Like, it's like, it looks cool. It looks fresh.
Yeah, it does.
So, and I know you guys are kind of always leading the charge on that, specifically in this area. Mm-hmm. So, I'm really cool. I'm really glad that the stars aligned and we were able to do this.
So. Yeah, I'm so glad too. I know Lindsay's cover was a big hit, but I knew you and yours was a big hit too. So, I mean, you're both doing like young, doing your thing, like super, super talented. I actually, to this day, don't know if I know exactly how you and Lindsay got here from, I think, Miami.
From Virginia. She's from Miami.
Okay.
Yeah. So, long story short, so we met in school, which was in Lynchburg, Virginia, and I got my first engineering job there. And we were there for about 3 years. We were going to the coast every week, and my folks had a place on the East Coast. And we're just water people at heart. Mm-hmm. And we were making a 3.5-hour drive every weekend just to be on the water. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I want to move back to Florida. And I was like, I don't know if I can move back to South Florida. Or I don't know if I can move to South Florida. I've been to South Florida a lot. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, I've got some family stationed on the Panhandle. Let's go check it out. We didn't even know about Santa Rosa Beach at the time. We just knew about Destin. And we're like, oh, this is amazing. So, we said, we're not going to renew the lease. Let's see if I can get a job down here. And I got a job at a DoD aerospace company in Fort Walton. And it was the dream job. Like, it was everything. The stars were just like, it was perfect. Mm-hmm. Everything aligned. And we got down here first week. I just remember sitting there and being like, I can't do this the rest of my life. Now, I stayed there for 2.5 more years, kind of scheming up what Chuna would look like and failing and dumping the whole paycheck into it and failing and dumping the whole paycheck. And like, that was a rough season, but, got us where we're at, got us over here in Point Washington. I mean, we couldn't be more blessed to be where we're at, and kind of all those things, how it happened, the hardships at the time they did. And, the valley teaches you a lot. And we're really, really grateful for where we're at this point. So
yeah, you're taking over the place. Definitely. You're like the
sky, I don't know about that.
The sky's the limit. So what did you mean when you said while you were at that aerospace job there that you would try things and fail? Were you talking about like clothing that you were making?
Or
what would be the fail? Give me a failure example.
Oh, I mean, I would get everything that we do is, even to this day, is small batch manufacturing. So even our best producing items will maybe order 1,000 at a time. It's very small scale.
Right.
But at that time, I would be ordering 50 units at a time. And I had no idea what I was doing. Like, this is how ignorant I was to it. I literally didn't know that people sewed clothes. Like, I knew, like, people were involved in it.
Right.
I thought, like, machines literally pumped out, like, T-shirts. And versus someone sits there and sews every seam. There's more people laboring over clothes than anything else in the world. Like, that's a crazy thing. Yeah. Okay. So it's a really interesting fact around that. So I just kept trying and figuring out, okay, well, I always had the vision of where Chuna would be. It was just so much harder to get there than I realized. Mm-hmm. I think everyone just has the idea like, oh, chase your dreams, go for it, and it's going to be super easy. It's like, no, I mean, I dumped $100,000 into this thing and didn't even have something to show for it. Mm-hmm. Like, I should have thrown in the towel way earlier.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't you? Because, you know, I get that you can throw a towel in. Believe mm-hmm. me, I wanted to do it many times myself, but then I know why I don't. Why didn't you?
I don't know. There's still many days where you're like, gosh, is this the right decision? I think you just, when you start to realize and you've experienced the polar opposites of what you do to make a living, mm-hmm. You kind of realize at some point, like, hey, it's never going to be easy. Mm-hmm. And everyone's wired differently. Some people are, I guess they are, what's the word I'm thinking of? They're more comfortable in the sense that complacent. That's what I'm looking for. They're more complacent, mm-hmm. Which isn't a bad thing always. Like, mm-hmm. In fact, it's something that I'm quite envious of at times mm-hmm. versus, mm-hmm. hey, it's not enough. We mm-hmm. got to do more. Mm-hmm. We got to get to the next level. Mm-hmm. And there's a beauty and a curse behind all of that. And I think for me, it's simply the matter of I've seen and kind of envisioned where this can go. Mm-hmm. And until it reaches that spot, I won't give up on it.
Mm-hmm. I totally hear you and agree with that. And sometimes, like, when I have spent money that doesn't work, mm-hmm. I can't stop because I can't fail because I already put the money in and I already lost it.
Right.
So I have to, like, keep making it work so that it keeps driving me on to go, well, I've invested in myself. Okay. It's not even lost it. I used to think it was lost. And now, and maybe I'm giving myself a marketing spin, which could easily be true, but it's more like you're invested in yourself.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are fine with opening companies or doing ventures with other people's startup money. And then if it fails, they're like, oh, whoops, right? Well, that was actually someone else's money, right?
Right.
And so, and I didn't ever want to do that myself when I was starting things. So I would always just go, well, I won't ask somebody to put money into my company until I put money into my company.
Yeah.
And then see where it's going to go. Because, like, I thought it was rude to actually, like, want somebody else's money to grow something, but that I wouldn't have enough faith in myself to put the money in.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, it's just perspective about that. But I actually, Elon Musk, I mean, and I don't know what people think about him. Like, he's probably, like, a really bad guy that people, like, either love him or they hate him. And I don't even know where I stand at the moment, except that he's very creative and he started a lot of really cool things. And he you know, he's interesting to me. And when he took over Twitter, that's now X, a couple of really big players in the, you know, CEOs of big, large companies were saying, you know, I'll be your next, you know, CEO or whatever. And he said, well, sure. Well, dump in everything that you have, all your money, $500 million, just like, you know, I did. And I will talk about you being the CEO because that's what I had to do this. And so when I read that in an article, I went, maybe I was right.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you do have to do that to prove to yourself and other people that you're going to put your money where your mouth is, type of thing. Right. Now, everyone has a bewitching hour when you have a set amount that you just cannot keep dumping into something, you know, and it's different for everybody. But if you look at it like it's an investment, it's such a much easier perspective. And then you don't kind of get down on yourself. It's weird because I had to really think about it for several years about, like, I loathed sometimes the thought that I put my own money into something and I thought that it was wrong. And I thought, like, maybe I wasn't doing the right thing and other people wouldn't do this. You know, I thought, like, oh, I'm dumb. You know, this is not very smart of me to do this. And so I really thought about it for a long time. And I was like, you know what? If I can't invest in me, who else can? And so that's where I stand right now, and I'm sticking with it.
I can tell that we have been through some very similar mindsets.
Really?
Yes. I love that. I really think I've made this a point in my life. I talk with a lot of people on a regular basis, whether it be founders of big companies. Mm-hmm. And that's probably one of my favorite parts about all this is you get to talk to some really cool people. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you often are like, you want to hear everyone's opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm very selective at this point of the people or opinions that I allow to impact me. Because as you're aware, because what you kind of just described is like, it gets really lonely and it gets really fragile. Because next thing you know, everything around you is telling you, oh, you should have just done the
right.
the stable thing. You should have just done what was mm-hmm. secure.
Mm-hmm.
Go get the salary, go do this. And none of those things are bad.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you can't deny what you feel in your heart at
right.
times. And
right.
you're like, something was telling me and I'm crazy for doing this.
Yeah.
Like when you can almost just like blatantly say like, it's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, something's still telling me to go. It doesn't make sense, but still telling me to go.
Right.
I think you can, How I Built This is probably one of my favorite podcasts. You can almost listen to every single founder's story on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've listened to so many where they literally went to the closing meeting and they were like, mm-hmm. our credit card got declined.
Yeah.
We couldn't pay for our investment closing dinner. Because they're like, we were capped out. And they're like, and that wasn't our only credit card. It was
yeah.
10.
10, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
No, it's scary. It really is. And I don't know if you know the story about Ralph Lauren, but he used to sell ties when he came into, for the market, and he made these beautiful ties and he tried to sell them to like all the big guys like Bergdorf's and Saks and all that. And he was good at it. But then he started venturing out into some clothing. And he has a documentary that I absolutely love listening to, where he had no money and he had to borrow from several family members to stay in business. And he was like on the precipice of complete failure when he was starting to make a deal with like Saks or Bergdorf's. I can't remember which one it was. And he held on to the last absolutely minute that he could. And then he exhausted everything and all the people that he knew and all the banks that he could go to. And then somebody gave him a shot, like in Bergdorf's or Saks, to carry his line. And that is how he birthed Ralph Lauren, like an all-American brand
wow.
that we know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've been on the same, many, many things have happened over the years where it's like, wow, the tightrope is so tight that if people knew like at times how tight you would have to like balance that. And then people think, oh, like you're doing great. I'm like, well, actually, but people don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
They do not want to hear that you have problems. I have learned that a long time ago. So I don't tell people because that one, they don't believe you, or two, their own narrative of you is that, and they don't want you to ruin their own narrative of you.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter. You don't ask anybody. You don't say anything. You just like, figure it out.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of soul searching that goes into it. In all honesty, 7.5 years ago, after the magazine was 7.5 years old, I was going to close the magazine because it was very difficult to make it work. And we were pouring money into it and money from the marketing company and money from our own money. And we had done an office in Ireland and it was really fun and everything, but it's still like so much money going out the door.
Yeah.
We made a magazine over there for 4 years. And I felt like I just can't take the pressure anymore of that. But I knew I loved the magazine. I knew and felt like I was supposed to do it, but I was like calling the game basically. Because I was too afraid of all the money going out. I saw like dollars with wings on them. Like I visualized that they had wings and they were flying away. And then basically through prayer on a weekend when I thought I was going to pull it, I felt very, 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 very convicted to stay the course. And I have stayed the course for 7.5 years as that one weekend.
Wow, that's amazing.
1 weekend. 7.5 years is a long time
it is.
To stay the course where you were already really nervous.
Yeah.
But then when I look back on it and all the different things that we've accomplished in that time and what we built and the stuff, this wouldn't have been built, So building something like at the very beginning of the podcast where you had said something to the point of like, like what is success, right? Like sometimes success is not exactly what you think it is. Sometimes building something because you were supposed to build it, because you had the dream, the guts, the energy to do it. And you had a perspective, right? A point of view. You wanted to do this type of clothing. You wanted to, live this kind of life and you created your brand. Whether or not it becomes successful, which to many, many people means financial liquidity, and a lot of people think it means like a really big house and like multiple cars. And then I started thinking about that over the years too, and I go, what is the actual definition of success? Because I didn't have all of that because I still had to juggle all the money, like even 2 years ago or 3 years ago, especially in the pandemic. And that wasn't easy to do at all.
Yeah.
And then one day I was over there in the office over there, which I don't know if you've been, but there's a lot of covers of magazine, like covering the wall over there. And I thought for a second, like, oh God, like this isn't winning. I'm not succeeding. This is it's like really not working. And then I looked at everything on the walls and I said, well, what is the definition? Because that really was some magic trick, if it worked, that like 130 magazines were actually produced in like 15 years. And like a lot of stories were told and it was like considered my destiny. And I made my destiny and like, I could like, you know, win $10 billion tomorrow. So like, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, I guess when money is the only thing that equates to success or not, I've decided in the last couple of years that I refuse to buy it. Because yes, you have to make it, but sometimes you just have to make what you want to make and don't worry about that. Because if you're creative and you have ideas and you have energy, even if something were to fail, you know, you could figure something out again.
For sure.
Because like you have a lot of ideas in your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I don't know, it's like, it's courageous to keep going, but it's courageous to fail. I have found that takes immense courage to fail. And then, you know, to like not let it like psych you out.
Yeah.
And let you keep going, you know. But what I'm going to tell you is I see success in you. And I'm not saying that, you know, just randomly off the cuff. Like, because I know businesses, you know, we build brands and help brands grow and everything. You have something too different and too unique to ever fail. And there is a market for everything that you have. And to your point, and we've had this conversation in our office numerous times of late in the last year, there are no men's clothing stores here. This area caters to women, and men are like, you know, to some degree when we were talking about doing the men's issue, it seems like when did the world turn into like men were like the, they were like the candy or whatever. And like the whole world down here was catering, you know, to women, but it's needed and there's a niche for it. And then every single coastal town in the whole world, including, you know, America and beyond, this would be stuff, clothing that people would like to wear there too.
Yeah.
Because there's only like certain looks, you know, you have the Nantucket look, the New England, you know, you've got like your Annapolis look, which is kind of similar too. Like there's so many different looks that are somewhat similar. Yours is not that.
Yeah.
And so when you have something unique and you're first to market, you know, there's a thing in marketing, you always win.
Right.
Who's ever first wins.
Yeah. I do think that a lot because that was in my long commute. So there's always a blessing in every valley, like I was alluding to before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I used to sit in the car for 2.5 hours a day through Destin from Mary Esther to Point Washington. So
wow.
I'd spend a lot of time and I would just sit there and watch and look at what everyone was wearing, specifically men. Because again, I realized that very quickly. So there's a women's boutique every corner, which is a great business model because if there's that many, clearly they can make it work. Mm-hmm. So you're like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I quickly realized, the Panhandle has a really cool lifestyle. Not even just Santa Rosa Beach. Santa Rosa Beach is definitely it's the heartbeat. For sure. The 38 area has the heartbeat. But outside of that, you go to Port St. Joe, you go the other way. It's some really cool spots.
There are.
And really cool lifestyles where all of my competitors, they're in Austin, Texas or Charleston. Those are the two hubs for men's outdoor apparel.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the lifestyles aren't Charleston's cool, Austin's cool, they have their cool things about, but I'm like, no one has kind of the low country feel, and then you go 3 miles south and it's Caribbean water. Like no one has that. And so there's this really cool mixture that we have here. And I think we're still so new on the Panhandle too, that like there's some more cultural things that are going to be maturing. But outside of that, it just, to me, I was like, we're the first ones here. It's just a matter of time for people to really come beside us and say, hey, this is our home team. And that's happened very quickly. Like I rarely go out in public at this point and don't see someone wearing Chuna.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Which is really special.
Yeah.
It makes the days that you just were talking about, like it makes it worth it. Cause you're like, hey, I'm not doing this for me. We have a customer base that we're wanting to deliver the best product for them.
Right.
And so they're kind of like depending on us at this point. And I think that's a really cool like coexistence between the consumer and your manufacturer or customer.
Agreed. I think that's great.
Yeah.
So you don't have a bricks and mortar store. Do you want one?
So we were under contract last fall.
Okay.
And I don't want to give any hints away, but it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We're working on the funding around it because I agree with you on 30A. You know, there's a few stores that focus a little bit more on men's apparel, and we're in about four stores throughout all of 30A. You know, every like 4 miles, we're in a store or something like that.
That's great.
And they do awesome. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's it doesn't really embody the lifestyle. Like we want what is making brick and mortar survive is the store experience. Mm-hmm. So when you can step into the tuna lifestyle, and I think that's very costly. Mm-hmm. But when you're selling a product, that's one thing. When you're building a brand and you're selling a brand, it's a whole different beast. Mm-hmm. So for us, like building the brand of tuna is so much more important. It's the people that we invest in. It's the type of marketing that we do. It's the events that we go to. It's every single sale that we have, trying to make a personal touch with it. Mm-hmm. I've found that our customers love the personal touch. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to know that they're not just dealing with a warehouse, a third-party warehouse somewhere. And one day it will be that. But like until then, we're going to give everything we got for every single order. It doesn't matter how big or how small it is. Mm-hmm. So, and I think when you can bring that touch in and you, you know, you just lightly market that in this area, it doesn't matter where a guy's staying. If he's staying in Destin or PCB, he's coming out to make the trip over here, at least to check out the shop. Mm-hmm. So, the vision's there. Like I said, I already had started buying for the store and
that fell through.
Yes. Pulled out. Yeah. It wasn't the right fit, right timing, all that stuff. So, yeah, but it will happen and I'm very much looking forward to it. But again, it's just another thing you got to start dealing with once you get into that space as well. Mm-hmm. So,
But like where you've been already, like I call that, like you crawl before you walk and then you walk before you run. Right.
Yeah.
So it's really good that you've done it this way without the bricks and mortar, because, you know, you're learning so many things about everything, you know, your product, your, time frame on deliverability, you know, cost and how much, you know, how much you can make too. Mm. So it's good not to jump into bricks and mortar, but that would be quite the store. You'd probably need a pretty big space to like maximize, like showing the lifestyle. Do you think you would?
Yeah. It's kind of like everything where I would want it to be, kind of this stoic touch. But also this like fun, vibrant shop. You know, I kind of envision like a coffee bar in there. Mm-hmm. Like I want a place where people come to hang out, and talk shop. You know, right now we do, one of our big customers is Saltwater Fly Fisherman. And, right now, like we help host a fly tying night over at Bay Baits. Mm-hmm. You know, that was something that we wanted to do at our shop, but like any event, anything and everything that we could bring people together. I mean, we get resounding feedback every time we do something like that. People are like, man, we've really wanted this in this community.
Right.
And to me, like, I'm already like, I'm not good at many things. I can storytell a little bit and I'm a product guy, but my main bread and butter is networking. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always talking to different people in the area. And that's the number one thing. People are always like, man, I wish we had this. I wish we had something we could go get together, like-minded people. And just talk shop, hang out, meet people. And we've already started doing that at a very like micro level. And it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like you can't beat that. And like, that's a hard thing. A lot of people, again, you going back to Elon, he has this thing. He always says, we're over MBA'd. And I'm not ragging on people if they have an MBA. But he's always saying like, we need to create products and brands. Mm-hmm. That's what actually sells. That's what actually sticks. Mm-hmm. Versus like someone would come in and say like, hey, don't waste your time on these fly tying nights or, you know, because it costs money. You know, I'll go buy, you know, Oyster City beer. I'll go get pizzas over at Grace's, and it's not like, no, it's not cheap. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's like, we're building a community. We're building like the home team. Mm-hmm. There's a hunch behind it, and that will pay off in the long run. Mm-hmm. All these guys are going to be sold out to, it's not even necessarily our product. It's to the lifestyle that Chune is promoting. Mm-hmm. So that is, those are hard decisions at the time. It's like you finally get, and you probably feel that way. You get to a point where you're like, I just got to go with my gut. Mm-hmm. We've made it to this point. Mm-hmm. So we just got to keep going with it. And just at times you're like, is this really paying off and all that stuff? But
it is.
I hear it all.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. Of people just saying, hey, well, you know, we saw you reached out, but actually we just ran into someone with your product. We're so impressed. Mm-hmm. Like, can we carry your product? Mm-hmm. That happened this week. So, mm-hmm.
For a big order too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really great. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. But following your gut is all you have, you know, I mean, it's the best thing that you have. It's not all you have. It's your barometer. It's no one else's barometer. It's yours.
Right.
And I found that the sooner that you can understand it and trust it and respect it, then the better off you're going to be. Then you know, oh, I had a gut like I shouldn't have done it. You remember that. You won't do that again. You'll have a gut that was very successful. And then if you feel that way again too, but, and you're creative and you have a point of view and a voice. And that's what like I'm preaching, you know, this year. I don't know why, but it's just like coming around hard for me that I'm telling people too. If you have a voice and you do, and you have a perspective and a point of view that's yours and it's unique, you have to do that. Because it's an extension of who you are and what you're saying. Mm. And the world needs a lot more people to say things so that it's not homogenous.
Yeah.
And then we're not drones and just like, you know, giving up and, you know, creating is the absolute best thing that you can do. Mm. Elon also talks about failing is like, fine, no biggie.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's failed a lot and he, you know, gets back on up, you know, but. I mean, failure's okay, you know, it really is. I mean, I don't love it because I'm competitively, you know, innately I compete against myself and I am a competitor. I compete. I want to compete all the time, you know, to be the best, right? Mm-hmm. To be the best that I can be. But, you know, failing like really helps you figure out how to win the next time too. So. It's not that bad.
And that's kind of with yourself too. You're kind of competing against yourself a lot of times. I've found that like it's not always look on what is the brand next to me doing. It's,
yeah, because
it's
you're doing like, a different thing.
Right.
So it's you.
Right.
And then, you know, that's an outlier, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely because you're not like part of the pack.
Right.
And when you're not part of the pack, it's like 99.9% intel that you're gonna make it.
Yeah.
Because the pack is crowded.
Right, right.
It's a very crowded field. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you're doing great. I can't wait to continue to watch you like completely grow and thrive. I mean, I see this like everywhere. Like it's going to be really big.
I hope so.
Oh, it's going to be.
I believe it will as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. You're on to it. I'm got to get that shirt for my husband. That is so good looking.
It's a great shirt.
It is.
Very comfortable.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate you being here. I know you're busy.
Thank you.
All right. Continued success to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening and watching, everyone. I think it was a fascinating interview. And check out chuna.com. These clothes are amazing. You will not be disappointed. Thank you for listening and watching. And happy Friday. Bye.